God is pretty amazing. You probably knew that. But this week, kind of with my dad fell last week and been kind of a hectic week. And so it was later in the week when I was able to get some work done for the sermon today. And it's amazing how I didn't get a chance to tell Clay what I'd be preaching on until he had already pulled the music. And also Carlene with the children's sermon, but you'll see in just a minute how God is amazing with how he speaks to us, and he has something he wants to tell us. If you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians, chapter 9. First Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 24. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to church that he started in the city of Corinth. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. I want to say that again. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We need you. We ask you to come and speak in power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. Having been your pastor for coming up on 10 years in September, I cannot believe that, but what a blessing that has been. But one of the things that pastors have the opportunity to do as they are executing their ministry is funerals. Now, I was thinking about, I know that's not something that we always like to think about, but it's sometimes it's healthy for us. Stephen Covey wrote a book called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and one of the things he says is begin with the end in mind. You start with where you want to finish, then you envision what kind of man or what kind of woman you want to be. What do you want said about you at your funeral is one of the things that he encourages people to do. And I'm yet to talk to a family as I'm leading them through a funeral service. I'm yet to talk to a family that it was not important to remember the significance and the purpose that their loved one, that we are celebrating their life, that they fulfilled in their life. It's just natural for us as we come to the end of our life to this need in us to have made a difference. Anybody see that differently? Ever been to a funeral where there's like, you know, old Joe, he didn't amount to nothing. You know, we just don't do that, do we? We speak of the impact that our loved one had on their family and on their friends and on the world around them. Begin with the end in mind. We have this need inside of us to have a purpose. And we don't even really realize it. We don't even really think about it many times, but we do. Each one of us is born with this need to fulfill a purpose. Today we're gonna be speaking about this issue of living with purpose. Paul, he's writing this letter that we read just a moment ago. He's writing this letter to the church in Corinth. And Corinth was, I did a little research on Corinth. Corinth was a city, a big kind of metropolitan city, had all a very diverse culture, probably a city of over 500,000 people, around 600,000 people or so living in Corinth at this time, and all sorts of cultures colliding in this culture, in this city. And Paul had started this church, and he's uses, they struggled, quite frankly. The church in Corinth struggled. And so he uses metaphors from the day, what these people would relate to. And they had these kind of like similar to like the Olympic Games of what we, modern Olympic Games, where they had all of these races and different activities that they did, and they had, and believe it or not, they had boxing matches and so forth. And so he's using these images of their day, and he's talking about this how when you begin to compete for in the race, you are competing to win. You're competing to win. And so there's this idea of the of beginning with the end in mind. I want you to watch. I ran across this little video clip. I want you to watch of this dramatic race. A young man in Michigan, I'm not sure, but it was a state championship 5K race. By the way, I'm training for a 1K, so in case you were wondering about me. But this young man was running in a 5K race. Anyway, go ahead, Lee, see if you can run that. That's good, Lee. Thank you. You ever felt like that young man in life? As I was watching that, I was thinking about how many people or like that young man straining to make it to the finish line, and while the other runners are focused on their prize and running right by him. How many people do we run by every day? I didn't really intend to go this way this morning, but that's what the Holy Spirit's saying to do. You know, many times we're the person on the ground. But sometimes we're the runners running right by. Kind of giving a glance. He'll be okay. I want you to think about people in your family and people in your workplace, people in your neighborhood. Are we running by anybody? I want us to look at some points as we think through this idea of living with purpose. Living with purpose. The first thing that Paul seems to be pointing out here is that living with purpose requires drive. Requires drive. He says in verse 24, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." You know, I guess I would stop there and get us to ask ourselves, what's the prize? What's the prize? I feel like God's nudging me a different direction this morning, so we're probably just going to go off the page here a little bit, if you'll just bear with me. What is the prize, church? Is it all about us? You know, I wanted, so as I was watching that clip when I first ran across it, I wanted so badly for one of those boys, and one of them almost did it. Well, I wanted so badly for one of those boys to stop and help him up and to put his arm around him and to walk across that finish line together. I wanted so badly. Now, one of the things that you probably don't know, but in a state track meet, if you touch and assist a runner, you're both disqualified. So I know that was, even you saw, you probably noticed there at the end when he managed to just stumble across the finish line, and the men went over to assist him, and one of them must have said, no, his feet have to cross the finish line for him to qualify to have successfully finished the race. So the young man spun around where one of his feet crossed the finish line, and then they gave him assistance. So I'm sure that was on their mind, but I just wanted so badly for somebody to just help the kid. You know, who cares who wins the race? Just bring some more across the line with you. Are we church? I think God, he's getting in my face. I hope he's getting in your face this morning. Is our walk with Christ, is the purpose that we live with so that we cross the finish line? Or that so that we help others cross the finish line with us? I mean, I get exasperated, if that's a word, when I think about the church. I'm not saying Wiley, I'm saying the church, and we're so busy with just stuff that's not eternal. We're just so busy with, I mean, and I think about it, and there's days that I get encouraged. There's days that I get so encouraged because I see something that's so selfless. And then there's other days that I can tell you I can just hardly pull myself out of bed because I get discouraged because I just think, where are we, church? What are we about? What are we about? Are we? Is it about us? Is it about me? As long as I'm cared for, as long as I cross the finish line, God wants more from us. He's calling for more from us. Not in duty, but just in to be passionate. And I think that's the heart of Paul as he's talking to these Christians in Corinth, and there was all these influences going on in their life, and they had all sorts. There's all sorts of issues that they were struggling with because of the size and the diversity of this culture that they found themselves in, and they found themselves just losing their way. And Paul, I believe, was crying out to them, and he was saying, "Church, you don't get it. We must run the race to win the race, but it's not this self-centered race. It's this selfless race to follow the example of Christ." How we doing, church? How we doing? How we? And I want us to look at ourselves. How we doing? And Billy, I appreciate your honesty this morning about the prayer stuff, because sometimes when you're in ministry, you just get tired. You feel like you're just treading water as fast as you can tread, and nobody else is treading with you. And I know that's not the case, but sometimes it feels like that, doesn't it, Billy? I mean, sometimes, and don't you feel like that sometimes just as a Christian, as a layperson? It's like, I'm paddling as fast as I can paddle to keep my head above water. Is there anybody else paddling? God wants us to press on. He wants us to press on to win the prize that he has called us heavenly for. I want you to on your notes here, because I'm throwing away the notes. You can chunk those in the trash, but I do want you to write this verse down. Acts 14. And I just want to tell you this story, and you go home and read it for yourself and see if I'm telling it the way it happened. But in Acts chapter 14, Paul and Barnabas are in this city called Lystra, and they are um, they are winning. There's is again a lot of diversity there, and the Jews are there, and the Gentiles, and they're sharing the gospel with passion, and a lot of people are coming to Christ, and a lot of people are being healed, and all sorts of things are going on, and the Jews, many of the Jews are coming to Christ, but the others are feeling threatened, and they're getting angry, and they're whipping up this mob against Paul and Barnabas. Don't you love that? That here, Paul and Barnabas, all they're doing is bringing people into the kingdom of God and healing people and sharing the love of Christ with people, and people are getting angry at them. Don't you love that? And so these Jews that are against their message, they're whipping up the crowd and making up all sorts of evil things about them. And ultimately, here's what happens. They stone Paul for healing and for sharing the gospel message. They stone him and they drag him to the edge of town and dump him out in the country thinking he's dead. That's what happened. But here's what happened next. When some of the people who had Paul had led into the kingdom, when some of those people came out later basically thinking they're going to collect a dead body and bury this man, they find out he's alive. And guess what Paul did? It says he got up and he went back into the city. Church, do we have that kind of purpose in life? I mean, is Christ that central to our belief? Would we walk back into the place that where they just thought they killed us by throwing stones at us? I mean, has he done that? Has he done something significant for us where we would live with that kind of purpose? And so this man Paul that walked back into the city, here's what he says when he's coming to the end of his life. Here's as he's setting up his eulogy for his funeral. In 2 Timothy, he's writing to this young man, Timothy, that he has mentored. He's coming to the end of his life, and he says this. He says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and this time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Now, does that give maybe open your eyes a little bit more to those words when you hear that Paul was stoned and they thought he was stoned to death and he gets up and he walks back into the city, risking it all again? "I have fought the fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Do we long for his appearing? Do we long to, and Lynn said it earlier, I end practically every service by saying, go tell someone. How many of us, and you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us are telling someone about the love of Christ during the week? Are we doing that? Or do we just have our ticket? Do we just have our ticket? I got mine. You got yours? That's not the purpose that God says for us to live with. That's not the purpose that He has called us to. He has called us to be disciples and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but for me, when church was about being good and about obeying all of the commandments and the law, and, you know, being a good Christian, when it was about that, I didn't have any passion to tell anybody anything. But when Christ became real to me, when I understood that this man, God Himself, took nails for me, when I understood that He took nails for me, not for the whole world, but for me, when I understood that, it changed everything. And now I will, my last dying breath, I hope that it is praising God. And if there's somebody around my bed that doesn't know Him, asking them to know Him. You know, and I'm like I say, I'm so far off the page. My dad, next week is Father's Day, and I'm gonna I'm going to speak to about that today because I won't be preaching next week, but my dad, he's a good man. He's a really good man. And he's really a godly man, and he has taught me so many things in my lifetime. And my dad is slowly, one day at a time, being taken from all of us. He has Alzheimer's, and I've seen what that disease does. But the nurses love to come in to Dad's room because he always greets them with a smile. He's not angry or frustrated or any of those things. He just greets them with a smile, and he's being poured out like a drink offering. And he has fought the good fight. And he taught me about Jesus. And I, hopefully I've taught my girls about Jesus. Man, are we passionate? Are we living with purpose? Church, what are people going to say about us when they come to our funeral? Are we going to have to make something up? I tell you, I do funerals, and sometimes the funerals, you can just tell Jesus wasn't a part of their life. He just wasn't there. And that's the hardest service to do. But I tell you, the easiest ones are when I know that Jesus was just everywhere in that person who's gone before us and in that family, and just the way that it changes the dynamics of that moment. Are we living with purpose, church? I want to, where's Terry? Would you come up and play a little something for us? I just want to open up the altar this morning. You know, we're so concerned about what someone else will think of us. Aren't we? I am. I'm always concerned at what someone else will think of me, and I feel certain that I'm not alone. But I'll tell you, this is eternal stuff. This is eternal stuff. And so I just ask you to set that stuff aside. Set it aside. And if you need to come this morning to the altar and repent for being self-absorbed in your own world, then come and repent. It's between you and God. If you need to come and ask God to show you who He would have you to share the gospel with, then come and ask that. Whatever it is that God has laid on your heart, I know He's convicting you right now. I know He is. And some of you are resisting it. I ask you to just, man, God only wants good things for us. He just wants to bless us. And so I invite you to surrender to that. Terry, would you just begin to play something? I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to invite you to come forward and just pray with me. Lord, forgive us. Forgive me. Forgive me for being self-absorbed. Forgive me for not being all that you have called me to be. Show me how, God. Show us all how to be like you. We offer ourselves as living sacrifices to you, and we come this morning in surrender. So I ask you now, just if you feel led, come. Paul also wrote to the church in Philippi these words, "One thing I do, Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Are we living with purpose, church? I want you to look around you this morning and think for just a second all the people in Abilene, Texas. Let's even make it a little closer. All the people in this community. It's within a few miles of our church even. That don't know Jesus. You think there's any? Think there's any in this right here in this neighborhood? Now I want you to, if you know some of them, picture them in your mind. Now I want you to mentally cross through the ones that don't deserve Jesus. I want you to just cross their name off the list. That'll save you time, right? We want to refine our list a little bit. Is God calling our church to reach that person for Christ? Is God calling you to reach that person for Christ? If all the people that need Jesus already have Jesus, then we're good, right? Then we can just come here and we can be receivers. We can be consumers. If everybody knows Jesus, let's just come and be consumers. But that's not the case, is it? God has called us to be disciples and to be servants. Let's pray. Father, give us a heart for the lost. But Father, even before we have a heart for the lost, give us a heart for you. Because if we have a heart for you, you have a heart for the lost. Make our heart your heart. Make our mind your mind. Make our life your life. We surrender to you, Father. It's no longer our life. It's yours. We give it to you. Do with it as you will. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you would stand as we close today, I'll be up front if you'd like for me to pray with you or if you'd like to talk any more about making Jesus your Lord and Savior. I'll be up front.
I surrender all.
such a way as to receive the prize and bring somebody with you. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless. I surrender.